Parliament building as anti-corruption demonstrations continue to spread. BBC News.
Presented by Chris Aldridge. With our prisons full and a new Justice Secretary introducing reforms in England and Wales, the Today debate will be asking if we should be sending fewer people to prison. Anna Foster will be joined by a panel of experts and an audience in the Radio Theatre at 8 o'clock this evening, and you can listen here on Radio 4. We're turning to comedy in a moment with the final episode of the current series of Room 101.
Welcome to Radio 2 in the Park!
Radio 2 in the Park, Chelmsford.
We brought a superstar lineup to Essex
for a weekend of magical live moments.
I want everyone dancing with this!
Oh yeah!
And all the performances are available now,
including stunning sets from the likes of Bryan Adams,
Def Leppard, Belinda Carlisle,
Sophie Ellis-Bextor,
David Gray,
Stereophonics,
and more.
Thank you, Radio 2!
Watch on iPlayer
and listen on BBC Sounds.
Just search
Radio 2 in the Park.
Now, here's Paul Martin.
Supposing you had the chance to get rid of some of your worst nightmares, what would they be? My guest is here to try and persuade me to banish the items on his list to a place where they'll never be seen again. This is Room 101. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome writer, actor, stand-up comedian and host of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, Jack Day! Now, Jack, you don't strike me as the sort of person who compiles lists of things that really annoy you.
No. It's been a struggle. Trying to find things. I thought, what can I come up with? So, I just thought I'd try and enter into the spirit of the game.
Tell us about your first choice.
What it is, Paul, is there are some words that no one can seem to agree on the pronunciation of. Mm-hmm. And what you end up doing is avoiding using those words. A lot of these are actually cooking related and food related, but oregano, when people say on a cookery show, oregano or oregano.
Oregano.
That's a very American thing to say that. Yeah, just put some oregano on it. And you think, well, I'm not using that recipe now. I can't. Chorizo is another one. I was like, it drives you crazy, chorizo. Every cooking show I've ever watched, it's a different pronunciation. People say, oh, put some chorizo on top. But don't call it chorizo. If we can't agree on how to say it, let's not use it, I think.
Yes.
Or just say it's spicy sausage.
And yes.
And then some people kind of overcompensate by trying to pronounce it in the way that it would be said in Spanish. So they go, chorizo, you know. So there are a lot of words that Ralph Fiennes. He's Rafe. Is it Rafe or Rafe? No one knows.
I think he prefers Rafe.
He doesn't know.
No, doesn't he?
No. I bumped into him. I said, what is it? Is it Rafe or Ralph? And he just shrugged and walked away.
Are you sure it was him?
Yeah, well, I think it was. Yeah, maybe I got it wrong. But again, that would drive you mad, wouldn't it? Have a name that no one knows how to pronounce.
Well, he said about his own name. He says, it is a quote from me. It's a funky old thing that my parents dealt me, he said.
Yeah. But he makes it sound like a sort of genetic problem that he has with his name. But when I'm reading, you say, as though that doesn't happen very often. Oh, you've read, have you? Yeah. If I read a book and I come to a name in it that I'm not sure how to pronounce, I don't bother with it, the name, right? So you can start with like I was reading a Russian book and I couldn't pronounce the name of this character in it. So I thought, it doesn't matter, it's only me reading to myself. So I don't need ever to know how to say it. So you just go, whenever you come to this character's name, you know who you are. I know who I'm talking about, so it doesn't matter. But you then go through the whole book, go, and then in the end, someone says, what's that book you're reading? What's it about? I said, oh, it's about this bloke called. And you just feel sort of vaguely stupid. There's another literary one that I did when I liked reading Agatha Christie when I was a kid. It wasn't until it came on telly that I realised he's not called Poirot. I've just been reading to myself, you know.
Yes.
Old Hercules Poirot.
Yeah. I might prefer that. I mean, it's certainly true if you see a word that you've never heard. I remember being, you know, 8 or 9 and seeing the word Penelope, which I thought was Penelope.
Yes, yes.
But a friend of mine at school saw the word discotheque and thought it was discothecue. Which I think is probably a better pronunciation. I mean, there is a lot of controversy on how you pronounce it. I think some of these, you've sort of hinted at this. I think some of this may be rooted in class. Like, if you don't know how the word is pronounced, you're clearly not one of us.
You know, have I got news for you?
I've heard of it, yeah. Never what? Watch it myself. But it's not a patch on Mock the Week.
Yeah, it's still around, though.
Yes.
But when I was first asked on to that to present Have I Got News For You, as you all know, it's always abbreviated as Hignify.
Yes, right? Yes.
And that came up in the email, strap on the email, and it just said Hignify.
Yeah.
And it was about 3 weeks before my agent said, well, do you want to do it or not? I said, what? And I had assumed it was some charity request.
Well, it is.
In a way. So I just ignored it, you know.
Donald Trump, if you haven't heard, this is one of my favourite Donald Trump clips. This is him. He'd plainly never heard the word Yosemite pronounced before. He's just reading it for the first time. So this is Donald Trump. Have a listen to him.
When their eyes widen in amazement as Old Faithful bursts into the sky, when they gaze upon Yosemites, towering sequoias.
John Berman, who's a news presenter on CNN, after that clip, he said that's how Jewish people greet each other.
Yes.
Yo, Semites! Now, linguists like to pinpoint specific areas where pronunciation changes. Such a linguistic boundary is called an isogloss, right? On the South Yorkshire/Derbyshire border, there's a particularly distinctive one. Here's the poet Ian Macmillan.
I'm also close to the greatest isogloss of them all, the house-ass interface. Somewhere between Sheffield and Chesterfield, your house becomes your ass. As in, I've just had double glazing fitted in my ass.
Do you want to come round our house? It's always open. You don't want to. You were mentioning food programmes earlier. A lot of people struggle with shiitake mushrooms.
It sounds like a struggle.
Yeah, because if we're going on the pronunciation based on how it's spelled, that should be shitache. Which is what you get if you eat too many mushrooms, of course. So are you a fan of received pronunciation? This is a book that was only established as a term in 1926 by a linguist called Daniel Ellis, and he's English Pronouncing Dictionary. Should there be a standard way of speaking English?
Yes.
But who should be in charge of this standardisation?
Probably me, and then I'd have no more confusion. Look, part of it is a snobbery thing, I think.
Yes.
It slightly is. It's slightly class-based. It's about about accent as well. I remember once when I was a kid, and I grew up in Hampshire, summer's day, and someone wound down the window of the car and said, can you tell me where the fight is? And I said, well, I don't think there are any fights around here. And he said, no, the fight, and what he was talking about was a fate, right? There was a fate going on. And I'm just glad I did. Oh, do you mean the fate? And then he would just... He probably would have got out of the car and punched me.
Yeah. I think I agree with you about this. It's annoying to have to worry about pronouncing words incorrectly. A lot of the time it is used to embarrass people, so words that can be pronounced differently are definitely going into room 101. In they go. Okay, Jack, this sound illustrates your next choice. Those are swallows, so what are they indicating?
Migratory birds. I'm sure I'm not alone in this. If I am, I'll find out. But I just find it a bit annoying the way migratory birds, you know, come here for when it suits them. You know? You know, they enjoy the summer, and then they, you know, they clear off. You just think, well, you know, stay or go. Make your mind up. But all this leaving the country when it suits them, and going somewhere nice and warm, and then they come back and they're all sort of showing off about it, aren't they? When they, oh, we're back now. Well, have you had a nice winter? Have you? Yeah, good. Yeah, we're in North Africa. It was lovely and hot there.
You sound a bit jealous.
Yeah, well, I probably am a bit jealous. I'm not against birds. I like birds. Yeah. They're all right. I like robins. You know, they stick around.
They do.
You know, so there's a reason you don't have starlings on Christmas cards, I always think.
Yeah.
And that's good because they don't show off about going, you know, all that murmuration thing as well. Oh, so, we're going away. It's like people who, you know, brag about when they're going on holiday. Oh, I can't wait. We're going on holiday. Well, go. Don't tell me about it.
Well, you've mentioned a couple of things there. Here's a list of the main non-migratory birds in the UK. Robin, blackbird, wren, great tit, blue tit, coal tit, house sparrow, woodpecker.
Yeah, they're all underachievers though, aren't they, really, when you think about it.
Oh, the woodpecker makes his own cider, so that's not bad.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. They're not the exciting ones, though, are they?
No.
But, you know, that's the... I don't know what geese are up to, either. Well, you know, they just come back for the winter.
Well, this is the thing. Canada geese apparently used to migrate, but they don't do it anymore.
I respect that. But I used to think, was, you know, if you're a goose and you just come back at Christmas time, you haven't thought this one through, have you?
Yeah. Here are the list of the common migratory birds. Cuckoos, swallows, swifts, sand martins, house martins, white throats, wheezers, ospreys and puffins. Wheezers and puffins are the ones who vape.
Yeah. And the other thing is, when they're abroad, they tell all their mates that it's nice here. Because London, where we are now, is overrun with parakeets now.
Yeah.
So someone must have tipped them off.
Yeah.
And say, I'll tell you what, we want to come over to London, it's fantastic.
Is there anything you could do to persuade these birds, these migratory birds, to stay? I mean, have you ever thought of hanging fat balls outside your window?
Could do. How did you know?
Yes.
Look, I think if they're going to go, there's nothing you can do to stop them going.
How would you stop them? How would you stop them either migrating or either going away or coming back? How would you do that?
Put nets up or something? You know. No, look, I suppose I'd try and stop them by persuading them that they should stay.
Yeah.
Or once they've gone to where they're going, then just not come back. Because why waste your life flying around the world not being able to settle anywhere?
Mm.
That's what I think. You'd just be like a supermodel or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, bird migration, I mean, we can look at it as a wonderful thing in nature. Birds use the sun, stars, moon, memory, smells, Google Maps. They can even see the Earth's magnetic field. It'd be a shame to waste that ability, I think. So it's part of the rhythm of life, Jack. I'm sorry, I'm not going to put migratory birds into room 101.
Yeah, all right.
They wouldn't stay there anyway. So I'm sorry, no birds into room 101. That's the way it is. Okay, tell us about your next choice.
It is things that win awards.
Yes.
All the time. You can't move or buy anything without it being advertised as award winning. It can be anything from transit vans to kebabs or what, you know, I don't need to know it's award winning. I just need to know if it works or not. I don't know. And I also think, where are all these ceremonies taking place? I've never been, you know, the cheeseburger awards. That's not, is it? David Tennant must be doing them every night of the year, giving out these awards. And I don't feel that we need to keep giving out awards.
Have you ever hosted an awards show?
I have quite a few, actually. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Can you remember what they were?
Oh, lots of them, but there are things like heating and ventilation and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, look, admittedly, in terms of award ceremonies, I'm very much at the bottom of the ladder.
Yes.
It's not presenting the BAFTAs.
No.
I'm giving out, you know, Best Duct Award. And but I'm happy to do the work when it comes my way. I'm very happy with it. And maybe it's partly because I feel I've been overlooked on many awards things. You know, I've had a dearth of award. I've had to build a smaller mantelpiece. And I have had awards. I mean, you know, you laugh, but I have. No. When I started out, I had two or three things. I was given Best Newcomer.
Mm.
And since then, nothing.
No.
Right? So I'm thinking...
Well, the next one will be lifetime achievement.
Exactly.
Won't it?
So it's a bit like, oh, hello, welcome. And then nothing until they're going to ring up and say, you know, we gave you Best Newcomer. It's obvious we made a mistake because you've won nothing since. So can you send it back to us? Because it is literally the last time I won an award. I think my mum sewed it on my swimming trunks. It was like, you know.
Who was the winner, do you think, of the Popular Mechanics Tool of the Year in 2025? Oh, I have the winner here.
Popular Mechanics Tool of the Year.
2025.
Oh, I bet he's never lived that down. Yeah. Is it?
It's a tool. It's a tool.
It is a tool. It's not a person.
Not a person.
I was thinking, is it Nick Knowles? Who is it? Yeah. You know, could be.
Yeah. Oh, yes. You think he's popular, but actually he's a tool, yeah.
Sorry, Nick Knowles, if you're listening. Yeah. It's just what I thought.
And we're not sorry if you're not listening.
So who did I think won it? Was it a hammer? Is it a hammer?
Well, it was the Bosch GSB 18-volt high-torque hammer drill. There we are. When you said hammer, you weren't far off. And I've been asked to point out that other hammer drills are available. Also, I can tell you that this year, the Weissmann Combi Boiler holds the UK's most reliable combi boiler award. Lynn's prize-winning beetroot chutney was the hit of the Unst Agricultural Show in Shetland.
Yeah.
And Bournemouth won Best Seaside Resort. Nice to be recognised by its peers.
Yeah.
It is nice, isn't it? I can't do puns. The Hampshire theme park, Poulton's Park, has been commended as the Loo of the Year award for the 11th year running. And if you're running to the Loo, the Poulton Park is the best place to possibly go. It's been awarded Diamond, Platinum Plus and Platinum grades at the 2025 Loo of the Year. Genuine awards. They've won so many awards for their good facilities, they've qualified for the Champions League of Public Toilets. This is true. Where they will play Manchester City. So... What's the worst kind of award that you can think of, or the most meaningless one?
I think you just read it out. We're smirking at some of these ideas for awards, but, you know, I bet the speeches are fantastic, don't you? We're like, you know, the best toilet of the year. Well, yes. Thank you, yeah. I'd like to thank my brush.
Yeah. The winner of the best pie of the year, with the pie of pies, the pie of the year awards, it was the... this is their name, Boghall Butchers of Bathgate... Boghall, B-O-G-H-A-L-L, Boghall Butchers of Bathgate in West Lothian won with their kebab pie. Oh. So do we really want to deny the Boghall Butchery's moment of glory?
When you put it like that, I feel bad.
Yeah.
But I think the principle that awards are overstated and overused and that I don't get enough of them is a valid one.
Yes. You could argue that these kind of awards have a lot more validity than something like the Oscars, perhaps, where almost everyone involved has already done really well. They've already been handsomely rewarded for what they've done. So I am going to put award-winning things into Room 101, particularly as the show has never won one. So in they go. Now, I wonder how this next choice will go. It's illustrated by this. Have a listen to this.
Are we feeling Glastonbury?
So, how are you feeling, Jack, about Glastonbury?
Well, I want it in Room 101. I want it gone and done with. I just find it problematic that many people having fun in one place, you know.
What are your gigs like?
It's my... Well, I stay away from that kind of thing, I can tell you. It's my ambition never to go to Glastonbury. I never want to go.
Have you ever been invited?
Yes, I have, actually. We were invited to do Sorry, Having a Clue at Glastonbury, which struck me immediately as a bit of an odd fit. And you don't get paid, really, to go to Glastonbury.
No.
But what they do is they give you tickets and they give you a camping space if you go for 3 nights and do the shows there. And this was a few years ago. I remember saying to John Naismith, our producer, I said, look, you know, it's a very nice offer, but I kind of think that camping with Barry Cryer is probably not as much fun as it sounds. Most of the people on that panel were over 80 at the time. I thought, I'm just going to be running around getting things for them. I'll be emptying buckets in the morning, all that, you know. I don't want to do that. I don't find that fun, the idea of just, you know, having a queue up for everything. And then if it rains, it turns into the Somme, but with Arcade Fire in the background. It's, you know... And I think people who go, although I've never been, so this is, I could be forgiven for saying it's a generalisation, the people who go are all terrible. Oh, they are, especially the ones who've got their kids with them. You think, oh, come on, you know, just grow up, would you? Just, You've got some poor five-year-old slumped on your shoulders with headphones on.
Yes.
He's had his face painted to look like a panda. And now he's having to listen to Tanya, whatever her name is, all weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it? Shania Twain. Was that the name I was getting at? I don't know. I can't remember.
Vera
Shania. The, Shania Twain.
Shania Twain, yeah. There's another one, that a word you can't pronounce.
Is my age showing in this?
Glastonbury, £350 a ticket.
Yeah, well...
Sharp intake of breath from the people here.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Michael Eavis, the guy who runs it, he annoys me a bit as well.
Does he?
He always gives an interview, doesn't he? And he always says things like, you know, the bit I like most of all is when my cows are back in their field. Mm. Yeah, I bet, mate, I bet. It must be a nightmare having Elton John giving a concert in your back garden and you've got to do that.
Do you hate all festivals?
They're not my favourite thing. I find Glastonbury especially annoying, and I think it's probably because it's on telly.
Yeah. And the BBC calls it Glasto, doesn't it?
Glasto, I know. And they say, "Are you going to Glasto?" No, I'm going to be in my sitting room-o. Where, you know, I'm within a very quick walk of a working toilet and a fridge with some cold beers in, so I'll be having a better weekend than you.
Do you go to see live bands in other circumstances? You're not against live music particularly.
No, although I do think it's a hard night out. I do think live music is a very difficult evening sometimes. Mm. There's always a point about 10 minutes in where I think, oh, I wonder how long this is going to go on for. You know. And people are laughing because they know it's true.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, the Glastonbury experience, you're sleeping in a tent, you're listening to other people's conversations at night, people sitting on each other's shoulders, stupid flags, and somebody somewhere is playing really loud music.
Yeah.
Now, there's plenty of reasons to get rid of Glastonbury, and the only argument in favour of keeping it is that it annoys you. So I am going to put Glastonbury into Room 101. In it goes! OK, Jack, tell us about your next choice.
Well, I think it's electric cars.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What's wrong with electric cars?
Oh, they're just so annoying, aren't they? I mean, I'm going to start this one by giving an impression, right?
OK.
All right, this is my impression. What's this, right? That is my impression of a perfectly happy person being run over by a Tesla.
Yeah. Right? So, it's the silence of the electric car.
Yeah, I don't know where they creep around the place. they creep up on you. There's one there. And they come right up behind you. You don't know where. And then, now they've put this horrible noise into it, haven't they? So they have a sort of synthetic noise. So they just sound like those old-fashioned bacon slicers.
Yes.
You know, go the noises they make now. And I think what they should do instead of that is make the driver, that it doesn't move unless the driver is making a car noise inside the car, which is amplified. So they have to drive around and... Because that would take the smug look off their face, wouldn't it?
Well, you mentioned the synthesised noise. Since 2019, by law, electric cars have to have a synthesised noise.
I just think if you're going to go all that trouble of undoing the effect of creating a battery-powered car by putting a fake noise onto it, you might as well make it just spill out fumes at the back as well, just so everyone knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, this is what I wonder about this. Why does an electric car make the noise of a normal car? But then is it because people have electric cars want people to know they have an electric car?
I suppose it's that, and they don't want it to be as noisy as a normal car, but they still want to make some sort of sound. And if you're on a bicycle, you can't hear the damn things. Well, I can't anyway, because I've got headphones on, but, you know.
So how do you propel yourself around? What is your mode of transport?
I have got a car. I drive a car. Mm-hmm. I have got a bicycle as well. I ride a bicycle. And funnily enough, it's an electric bicycle. It's got a battery on it as well, so it makes it so it's easier. But that's not cheating. I'm not being a hypocrite, because bicycles have always been quiet, right? Mm. So it's not like I'm now going around on a super quiet bicycle. I'm not. I've just got one. I mean, I only said I got one because you asked me.
Yes.
That's the other thing about people with electric cars. They can't stop banging on about it, can they?
Yeah,
I got a Tesla, And then they tell you the range. They got 230 miles, not bad, you know. I've never had to say that about my car. Yeah, put petrol in it, it goes till it runs out.
The information here I've got here is that you have a hybrid car.
I've got a hybrid car, exactly. Yes, I do, yeah. So, for instance, the other week, I drove to Manchester, right? But, you know, the first 9 miles of that was electric. I am. I'm doing my bit.
Yes.
I'm not sure I'd buy a Tesla now, though.
No.
I think, it's very unpopular, and to be honest, you know, Elon Musk, have you seen what happens to his rockets?
Yes.
They don't even get through countdown, most of them, do they? Just just sit there and blow up. Let's go back to the days when the only people in electric vehicles were milkmen.
Yes. Top speed of 4 miles an hour.
4 miles an hour. When you were a kid, you could jump on the side of it and go along. He didn't mind. Well, he did mind. He's, you know, I can't say what he said to me, but, you know, not on the radio.
No. Well, you're in elevated company on this one because despite his support at the time of recording for Elon Musk, here are some of President Trump's considered opinions on the subject of electric cars.
They're very expensive and they can all be made in China. They don't work in the cold and they don't go far. They want to do this all electric nonsense. And I'm for electric cars. I have to be, you know, because Elon endorsed me. What do you think of an electric car?
So that's his considered opinions.
Yeah. Well, obviously I'm in good company there.
Yes. It's a strange state of affairs where liberals are attacking electric cars and right-wing Republicans are singing their praises.
Yeah, no, yeah.
One idea, okay, if you don't like these electric vehicles, you could get yourself a forklift truck, right? It's small, nippy, manoeuvrable. It makes a beeping noise when you're reversing so people know where you are. And if you find a parking space you like, you can just lift up the car and chuck it over the hedge. All right, Jack, I agree with you. I'm going to put all electric vehicles in the Room 101. In they go. We come now to your final choice, Jack. What is it?
I'd like to put Jack D in.
Well, the most promising newcomer of 1991.
For that reason alone, I think, yeah, yeah.
Why do you want to put yourself in?
Oh, I'm sick of the sight of him. I really am. I mean, you know,
really?
People might enjoy him in small doses, but, you know, when you got to wake up with him every morning...
Well, I mean, you don't see much of him. You're not on TV much these days, are you?
Yeah. I've got my memories, though. I've got to look in the mirror every morning, and yeah. I'm brushing my teeth, going, oh, there you are again. Look at you old sourpuss. What are you going to do today, eh? You know, put your little suit on and go and have a moan in a regional arts centre.
Okay, look, I could put you into Room 101, but do you think you want to visit first to see whether you like it or not?
Well, if that was an option, how could I refuse?
It'd okay, be, all right. Yeah, okay, Jack, here I am. I'm going to put you into Room 101. Here we go.
Oh, so I've got a... I'm now... Oh. It must be Room 101 because there's Rachel Reeves on the door. I've got to pay to get in, it seems. And, sorry, what? Yeah, I have eaten at a Harvester before. Yes, I have, yeah. Yo, a lot of vape shops here, aren't there? Nail bars.
Jack, do you want to come out again?
Yeah, I think I've had enough now.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Sounds like an electric car coming in, doesn't it? So how was your Room 101 experience?
Oh, I'm glad you let me do that, Paul. I feel like a new person. I'm never going to look in the mirror like that again. And I feel glad to be alive.
Yes.
Actually. Yeah, now that you've done that.
Thank you so much for sharing your choices for Room 101. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jack Day.
Room 101 was written and presented by Paul Merton, with additional material by John Irwin and Suki Webster. It was produced by Richard Wilson. It's a Hatchet production for BBC Radio 4.
And that was the last in the current series of Room 101. But we're not short of some comedy for long.
On BBC Radio 4.
We're talking anti-aging. How do you feel about it? I'm not someone who's like, oh, I don't care. Just put mud on my face and carry on.
I'm Ria Lena. I'm a stand-up comedian and a lapsed forensic scientist.
What I can't have is on stage people thinking I've had, like, fillers or...
Why not?
Well, because it's not who I am.
Together with some comedian friends, I'm scrutinising anti-aging treatments.
I got the whole thing stuck to my face. I ripped it off and I looked exactly the same.
With guests including Lou Sanders, Jeff Norcott, and Carrie Ad Lloyd. Realina Gets Forensic on Radio 4 and BBC Sound.